Welcome to the Fire Church Podcast. Today we pray Holy Spirit will speak through this message and into your life right where you are.
And so the message for tonight, I see God putting all this together as well. It's love versus duty. And I didn't realize when God gave me this word a few days ago, coming into tonight, that it would be falling on the same night as our anniversary. And there is something to be said about walking this life out with God in love versus duty. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for your word. God, I pray that you just anoint my lips, anoint my heart, my mind to just hear directly from your throne room and to be able to speak out your word as you desire and as you will. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Welcome back, Mike and Liz from UK. Seeing their kids there, one of their brand new grandsons. Congratulations. And good old mate Himalaya, give us a wave. We met during one of the Wednesday internship outreaches here. Gave his heart to Lord Frankston Pier. Lives all the way in Werribee, but decided to come tonight. So welcome. We want to honor you for making the travel. And in fact, if you're here for the first time, we want to say welcome as well. Welcome to you and to people who come from Hillsville, I believe, as well. Lenny's parents too. Is there anyone else that's come from really far away? Give us a quick wave. Whereabouts? Warragul. We're kind of used to you Warragul people now. We've got Warragul campus, but we love Paul and Sylvia too. But welcome. Thank you all for coming. Street outreach does work. Amen. 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 We love you, Himalaya. Thanks for coming down. But I felt this word tonight, really, it's also a word that is off the back of a good friend, Ben Fitzgerald. Who knows Ben Fitzgerald? He's in town, and I took the team, the pastors and the team, this past Thursday to NUMA Conference Pastors and Leaders Session, where we saw our good friend, Ben Fitzgerald, who's a board member of Fire Church. He's probably more well-known as the Awakening Europe Director, Awakening Australia as well, Pastor Dan. Pastor Dan, Pastor Ben are best friends that go way back to 2003 as baby Christians who are witnessing in the streets of Frankston. And part of what we see, much of what we see here is actually the fruits of their labor. And many of you go out in the streets and you evangelize. Al, for example, if you follow him on Facebook, you'll see a daily salvation update. But the ground has been, you know, just worked on over the years through faithful, mighty men of God like Ben and Daniel. And Ben brought this amazing word, and he said he feels, and I really regard it and respect whatever Ben brings to the table, because before the body of Christ really got onto this thing about intimacy and, the need to just linger in his presence, you know, Ben was talking about this years ago. You go back to when Ben was maybe preaching on this platform or in our previous Empowered in Him conferences. Ben was talking this language years ago. Now he's talking about this call to reduction and stripping everything back to the simplicity of his love, of his presence, of being fathered in his presence. And, I felt this deposit from God tonight is to highlight, are we doing things out of love or is it out of duty? The best atmosphere and motivation for service is not duty, but love. God honors love as a motive for our service, but he does not honor empty, unloving duty. And you're thinking now, well, give me some scripture to make this legit. Let's do that then. Let's go to Revelations 2, verse 1 to 5. I think it can be up on the screen. Thank you. Thanks, Stephanie. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands, I know your works, your labor, your patience, that you cannot bear those who are evil, and you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Everyone say first love. Remember therefrom Therefore, from where you have fallen, other translations say, consider how far you've fallen. This is actually serious to God. Consider how far you've fallen. Repent. What does repent mean? Change your mind. In the Greek, metanoia, change your mind. And do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent and change your mind. I mean, what are you talking about, Jesus? Aren't we laboring? Aren't we persevering? Aren't we being patient? Aren't we calling out false apostles, finding them out to be liars? Aren't we doing your work, God? You can be doing the work of God. The Bible says, on that day, many will say to me, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not heal the sick in your name? And I will say to them, away from me, for I never knew you. These are my words. Don't shoot the messenger. This is scripture, right? It's so serious that we do what we do for God from a place of love, not obligation, not duty, not works. You know what I mean? Not the striving without the anointing, without the grace, without the command of God behind it. It's like 13 years in, and I said to Jess 13 years ago at that altar, Baptist, Albert Park Baptist Church, I do. And then just go through the motions. The next 13 years, February 14, need some flowers delivered to your workplace. Here's the occasional date night with dinner. Here's some anniversary gifts. But if it is without love, Jess would soon feel it. We'd soon check out. If we were in that position where you know you're just receiving an obligatory act to say, hey, I've done my part. Now can we just get on and do our thing, do my thing? You know when it's not genuine. Who's ever received a compliment or a gift and you kind of knew it wasn't really genuine? You kind of felt like, yeah, they just done it because they felt like they had to. This is the same with God. And this is so important to God. And you ask yourself, well, why is this so important to God? Who's ever heard of Babylon? Who's ever heard of the first groups, one of the first groups of people in the Bible, in Genesis, that built this towering structure that almost reached the heavens, so to speak, that God said, this is actually not good. That man can do things on their own without me. God doesn't desire your works. God doesn't desire your labor. He desires your heart. He desires your love. It's like if our son Declan, who we love dearly, and he loves us dearly, was to just go about, come home from school, and say, yep, thanks, Mom. Thanks for dinner. Thanks, Dad. Thanks for playing with me. That's great. Now let's go to bed. What a lifeless kind of relationship that is. God is looking for those who are willing to lay down their lives for him. It's the motives of the heart that God looks at. And so I loved it when Ben talked about just stripping back all the excess, all the unnecessary things, and just bring it back to the heart of God. And Jesus demonstrated this the best. That when he walked the earth, remember he said, to follow all that I've commanded you and follow my example. What was his example? When he spent time with the Father, he was loving on the Father and he was being loved by the Father. It says this in Romans 8, 35 to 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. How do you know if you are more than a conqueror? How can you grow to become more than a conqueror, than one who is conquered? by knowing that you are loved. Amen. Say, I am loved by my Father in heaven. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, or any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you know the love of God for you, that no angel, no force, no circumstance can separate you from the love of God, you can do anything. Love can conquer many great battles. Duty can only take you so far, but love can take you even further. Let me give you an example. You got the two disciples. I love how Andrew Cannon actually shared this with the staff a few months ago. You got the disciple, Peter, who said, I will do this. I will build a tabernacle for you. I will never deny you. I will do this. As if Peter is the one who's going to bless the Lord. Whereas you have another disciple who both followed Jesus, John, to whom the one Jesus loved, a self-described lover of Jesus and one whom the Lord loved. There's a big difference here. Here's the difference. When Jesus was arrested at the Garden of Gethsemane, Peter, who said, I, he whipped out his sword, he cut off a man's ear, one of the arresting soldiers, but Jesus healed that man, put the ear back together, and when crunch time came, Peter ran away. And there came a point in the suffering of Jesus that someone from the crowd recognized Peter and said, isn't he one of the disciples? Jesus predicted this. He said, you surely, the rooster will croak three times and you will deny me. And Peter denied it. Second time, he denied it. A third time, he swore a few bombs here and there. And then the rooster crows and he realized, oh no, what have I done? I have denied my Lord. All these things that said, I. He was driven by duty. Whereas John, the same disciple who walked with Jesus, who knew he was loved by God, he was known for penning these words in John 15, as the Father loved me, is quoting Jesus. He kept a close attention to how Jesus operated with the Father. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. Everyone say, abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Other parts of Scripture say, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. A well-known Anzac Day scripture, right? You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Are you doing whatever he commands you? Or are we doing just our own good ideas, our own motives, sorry, our own intentions? I think initiative is good, but sometimes initiative without God can be somewhat counterproductive. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. God's desire for you, friends, is that you would bear fruit and fruit that will last. So he's not saying, you know, don't do any work. In fact, he calls people of God like that wicked and lazy. He's all about the fruit. He's all about seeing you step out in your faith. Because the Bible says, as the body is without the spirit, is dead. So faith, your belief system, your values, your understanding, your belief about God and His word, as faith without works. So faith without works is dead. There's an important part in believing right. Because when you believe right, you live out God's word right. Amen? So I'm not saying don't be lazy and just say, look, I'm just going to take it easy, love of God, and I don't have to do anything. I'm just going to be a Mary for the rest of my life and just worship at the feet of Jesus. There is a time and a season to be a Mary and worship and choose the right thing, to be at His feet. But there is a time that He will also call you out and say, would you go on my behalf? Would you speak to that person on my behalf? And we see Peter, at the time when it mattered so much to stand up for God and perhaps support Jesus' mother, Peter runs away in denial of his Lord and Savior. Whereas John, who understand that he didn't need to work for love, he was already loved. He was at the foot of the cross all the way to the end to see his suffering Messiah. Love will take you further than what duty will ever do. Amen? It's that age-old debate between performance over passion. Are we just doing things because it's a good performance? Or is it out of passion? Jess knows when we're just going through the motions. When the words that sometimes come out of my mouth aren't genuine. You know, when we go through conflict resolution, she just knows when I'm just going through the motions and just saying, oh, sorry. Like, hey, I just want to kind of get over this and just move on. But there's something to be said when it's meant from a genuine heart. God is redirecting our motives, our passions to purity and love. Amen. It says this in John 21, verse 15 to 19. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord. You know that I love you. Everyone say, I love you, Lord. He said to him, feed my lambs. Put some action behind your intentions. Put some actions behind your beliefs. Put some actions behind your love for me. Feed my lambs, he said to him again, a second time. Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all these things, that you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Jesus, in his mercy, and he's calling us into repentance tonight. If perhaps we've departed from our first love and found ourselves in a place of duty, of obligation, of even perhaps denying him at certain parts of our walk over the years, or even most recently, he's calling us to that place of repentance. Like when Jesus spoke to the church in Ephesus in Revelation 2, consider how far you have fallen, repent, for you have turned away from your first love. Do the very things that you did at first. When you are first in love with someone, you're a brand new girlfriend, a brand new boyfriend, or a brand new wife or husband, what is one of the first things you do? What do we do, Jess? we went on a honeymoon. We switched off the world. It was just Alex and Jess time. We had the blessing to be able to go to Boston to see my auntie, and then a short 4-hour ride to New York City, and then Los Angeles. We were just lost in each other's love. 2 weeks without outside contact, without an SMS or a phone call or a need from anyone else. It was just us and Jesus. Do the things that you did at first. When was the last time that we took ourselves away? I'm not talking about a 2-week getaway from the rest of the world and just you and God, although maybe He is calling you to that. I'm talking about your daily routine, your time with Him, where you just switch off the world and it's just you and your King, where you're loving on Him and being loved by Him, where you're hearing His voice, you're sensitive to His call. When you start your day, you know it's not just your own strength, you know it's not just your good ideas, but it is you being led by the Holy Spirit. It is you hearing His voice. It is you being just so immersed in the Holy Spirit. So much so that you live out the scriptures where it says, the steps of the righteous are ordained by the Lord and He delights in His ways. Our mate Zane here, give everyone a wave. Indiana, are you in the room? Give us a quick wave if you are. Nope, all good. There was a young man that spontaneously got baptized last Sunday morning. And the story goes that his mum passed away during lockdowns and he was quite numb for the last 2 years. When he got baptized spontaneously, because we had spare clothes ready and towels, he got up out of the waters and he cried for the very first time in 2 years. Just the softening of his heart and God just pouring out His love upon the young man. But did you know, Indiana came to this church because the week before, during that week, Zane was, he has a painting company, was painting Frankston Council building. And there was a young man, Indiana, who came to trying to get through to the doors. And Zane said, "Oh, I'm sorry, God bless you." And he goes, "Are you a Christian?" He goes, "Yeah, I am. Because can you please pray for me? Because I've got some serious spiritual stuff going on." Zane lays his hands on him. First time he did this, right? Yeah, that's so cool. He's coming to a fire church. Zane's just caught the fire and lays his hands on him. And Indiana says, I saw this bright white light just come upon me. Is that how it went? And he promised Zane, "I'll be at church." Zane, this part last Sunday, was grabbing some water. And Indiana goes, "See, I promise you, I told you I'd come to church." And then he gets baptized and then he gives his life to God. Come on, come on. But I know Zane, when he's working, I know he's not listening to Linkin Park or Blink 182 or Limp Bizkit. I'm going back 2020, 2010 playlist. We're from that era. He's listening to worship. He's got the audio Bible. Yeah, I think you're listening to the Bible? Yep, at that time. It's being possessed by the Holy Spirit. It's knowing that you are loved by God. And you can walk this life out loving on others because you're loved by your King. Amen. That you can also be patient with other people. For the Bible says, "Bear with one another in love. And love covers a multitude of sins." And so we honor you, Zane. Well done for walking in step with the Spirit. But Jesus is talking to Simon Peter, who denied Him 3 times. After Jesus is resurrected, He now comes at the start of those scriptures. There's a title. It says this: Jesus restores Peter. A man who denied Jesus 3 times, he asks Peter 3 times, "Do you love me?" In the Greek, the word love that Jesus uses is the word agape, which means sacrificial love, a willful act, a laying down. It's the kind of love that we read in 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It does not boast. It is humble. a sacrificial love, an agape love, which Jesus himself demonstrated for us on the cross. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Amen. He endured the cross for the joy set before him. Jesus, who is fully God and fully man, who knew from eternity, omniscient, full of knowledge, knowing everything from beginning to end, knowing that you would one day give your life to him in repentance to say, sorry for all my sins, God. For that reason, he endured the cross for you, knowing that one day, perhaps it's tonight, that you're going to give your heart to Jesus, to ask for the forgiveness of your sins, to make him your Lord and Savior. And so, Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? With the agape love, with the sacrificial love, with a willful act to lay down your life. But Peter, he doesn't understand fully yet. He responds with, yes, Jesus, I do love you, but with a different Greek word for love, which is phileo, which means a brotherly love. Like, yeah, you're my bro. You're my leader. You're my king. Yeah, I love you. You know I love you. But Jesus had to reinforce it another two times. No. Do you love me with a sacrificial love? With a laying down of your life kind of love? And so three times he asked this question to restore Peter. We know how Peter goes. He's hung upside down in crucifixion. That is the kind of love that helped him go all the way versus now doing this walk out of duty, out of obligation. When the hard times come, you know what? I'm checking out. Jesus talked about how there are shepherds who are hirelings, and then there are true shepherds who are willing to lay down their lives. Jesus said, they didn't take my life from me. I lay it down, for I have the power to lay down my life and to pick it up again. And he has the power, though your body be slain, he has the power to rise you up again. Though you may be slandered, persecuted, ridiculed, talked badly about, you might suffer loss, you might suffer financial loss, relationships, friendships, family members. He has the power to pick you up again. He has the power to restore all that the enemy has stolen. Amen? If you're willing to lay down your life. But that's hard to do from a heart of obligation, from a heart of duty. I'll only go as far until it gets really hard, God. That's why Jesus is not just asking Peter, but he's asking you, he's asking me, do you love me with a sacrificial love? Do you love me with a willful act of love to say yes no matter how hard it gets? Do you love me with a love that is like laying down your life for a brother? Do you love me with that kind of love? And will you do the things that I ask you? Because those who do those things that I ask of shall be called my friends. Who wants to be a friend of God? Yeah. Amen. And go to Iraq and see what happens. No, okay. You don't have to go to Iraq. You can live out your daily life being sensitive to God's call, being in tune with his spirit, and the things that even seem so random, it's not random, friends. When you're that close with God, when you're that so in love with him, enamored by his presence, that you talk like Moses, that unless your presence goes before us, we don't want to go. I don't want to start a business. I don't want to raise a family. I don't want to ask that person out unless it's from you, God, unless your presence is there. I was very cautious before I asked Jess out. I said, God, I want to make sure this is you this time because I've stuffed it up before in the past. It has to be God. Unless the Lord builds the house, the Bible says, it's laborers labor in vain. Time is short, friends. It's too short to labor in vain. You, by your wiring as a person made in the image of God, yes, you can be super successful. Yes, you can do great and amazing things. I caught up with a friend about 2 weeks ago at our end of term outreach. He was in the city. I went to high school with him. He's now based in the UK, just earning squillions he's reforming the tech world for lawyers. He's a lawyer himself. Just a crazy amount of money. But I know he's not walking with God. This is how I know, because I've witnessed to him before. And I did lead him to the Lord years ago, but the fruits aren't there yet. This is how I know he's not walking with God. Because towards the end of our catch-up, I tried to witness to his girlfriend, and he's like, no, come on, we're going to go, we're going to go now. Don't let Alex preach to you. We love each other. But you can be successful. You can earn money. You can start a family. You can do many great things with your life, just like in Babylon. But he's not calling you to Babylon. He's calling you to a life that is so enamored by the presence and the love of God that your every step is directed by the Holy Spirit, that sometimes you will get a small inkling in your gut, in your heart, in your mind to say, maybe go this way, maybe speak to this person. You could even be having fun. I remember at the end of our missions trip in the Philippines, they stitched us up, my fellow Filipino brothers and sisters. They said, we'll have a night of durian, smelly fruit. And some, who actually likes durian in this place? You guys need deliverance. It smells like toilet, right? As soon as you put it in your mouth. We eat that. And then the next thing was balut. It's a duck fetus. That's even worse. Cat laughs because she knows what it is. It's a duck that hasn't come into a full maturation. It's a little baby in an egg. They boil it, bit of chili sauce, and you're meant to eat it. So we eat this. And then half the local church that we're working with goes, okay, what do you mean, ew? Don't you eat this stuff? Isn't that why we're here? He goes, no, we don't eat that stuff. So we're here for your entertainment. And then we're walking away from this durian and balut kind of stand. We come across these three young men, and I said to James, hey, James, I think let's just turn around just quickly and tell these guys about Jesus. We've finished our ministry time. It was our celebration night. We don't need to do any more ministry, no need to do any more witnessing, evangelizing. But the Holy Spirit said, turn around, speak to these three young men. Here they are with their gloves on, eating toilet, durian. And I say, hey guys, just want to let you know Jesus loves you so much. And he has a plan for you. And can I just pray for you? And I prayed Matthew 6:33. And I just started to prophesy that, you know, God's going to bring a wife, a godly woman. And he's going to restore that relationship that he had once with the Father, but he's walked away. And I opened my eyes and he's in tears. He said, all these things have happened. And in fact, my wallpaper, he showed me Matthew 6:33. I've been craving to get back to the Lord. This girl who was with, she isn't a Christian. And so I entered that relationship in sin and it ended in sin. She ended up cheating on me. I said, friend, God's got a godly woman for you. You just got to get back into church, get back into the heart of the Father. Do things out of love, not out of obligation. And then we connected on Facebook. He's walking with God. He's in church. He's back in worship leading. But it's that still small voice of the Holy Spirit. Are you used to that voice? Do you know that voice? Or has it been dulled down? Has it been deafened by initiative, by good intentions, by being busy and looking productive, and there's a lack of intimacy with the Lord? Repent, Jesus said, and consider how far you've fallen. This is serious to God. And I take these words serious to my own heart. I go, God, yeah, I will consider how much I do without first spending time with you, no matter how big or small the decisions are. And so, lately in the body, there's this talk about the new wine, the new wineskins, that get rid of the old wineskins For if the new wine is to be poured into the old wineskin, it will bubble and burst. Gina, I kind of felt for you to share what happened this morning on Allen Street, why we couldn't have a church service. Tell us a little bit about Sonny, your awesome husband. And I feel it's prophetic as well.
Hey, family. How are we? Beautiful bunch. Quick thank you to Izzy, AJ, Faith, our new friends, Brother John, up the back there, came in at 10 o'clock to help put the chairs out and make our church look like church today. So thank you guys for coming in and doing that. Hands and feet from a place of love in Jesus' name. My husband is a line mechanic. He works on power poles. He orchestrates stuff. He makes stuff happen. And Sonny came and dropped me off this morning. He actually brought Makita lights so we could see. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, I know, right? And while he was here, I was like, babe, go talk to those people and find out what time they're going to be done and what's going on. Like, why are they changing these poles on Sunday? Like, we've got church. And he turned around and he said to me, and I love a good Holy Spirit slap up from a husband who's not at church right now. He said to me, babe, if they don't change those poles, they won't. Whatever's there right now won't be able to carry the weight of the power running through them. And I'm like, oh. So those poles need to be replaced right now, babe, because of the weight running through those lines on a Sunday. 13 years you guys have been together and we're shut down because of that. And I really felt the Lord say, guys, something's changing tonight in the hearts and minds of the people in this building who have come out for a 5 p.m. church service. There's a shifting going on in hearts and minds in the house of God tonight. There is something going on in the kingdom right here, right now. There is a shifting going on what some of you are carrying, and there's a shifting going on what God is breaking. The love of God is going to move like power tonight in this place. It already has. It already has. You guys have been feeling it in worship. So I want to encourage you tonight, if there are things that you need to lay at the foot of the cross, get it done. It's business time, y'all. The love of God wants to move in. So be encouraged, family. Make room, because God is positioning us to carry His glory, His weight, His power, His might, His presence, and to go out and change the world. In Jesus' name.
Awesome. So the old poles had to be taken away to bring in the new poles to be able to sustain the power coming through. Amen. That is symbolic, that is prophetic. Actually, morning tea, the Baptist Church, was cool to see. They actually run prophetic classes themselves. Good on you. Yeah, there's some Baptist that is very kind of like just only word, no ministry gifts. But it's cool to see one that's activated in these gifts. And so the language of the Spirit, to know what are the symbolisms, what are the things that God wants to get through to us that do away with the old ways. Perhaps your old wineskin is duty. Perhaps your old wineskin is perseverance, sacrifice, striving, works, but all without God. Those things are admirable and good, but only if it's from God. Only if He's asked you to do that thing. The new wineskin, friends, is not obligation, is not even sacrifice, it's love. He's looking for laid down lovers. Those who are willing to lay down their lives. Simon Peter, do you love me with the agape love, with the sacrificial love? Are you willing to lay down your life? Are you willing to lay down your will, your plans, your good intentions, and to pick up my plans for you? If anyone is willing to leave their mother, their brother, their father, their sister, and their lands, Jesus said, I will give them 100-fold in the life to come and in this life. It's not just a reward in heaven that you get to enjoy. It's also a reward in earth, here on earth, but with persecutions. That's something we kind of leave out sometimes. Persecutions is part of the game. Comes with the territory. But the joy of the Lord is there. Amen. We've gone through many things as a married couple. Family restoration, miraculous family restoration. Things where we thought this is impossible. They've cut us off. They said we're not even real Christians. Now they're back and better than ever before. God can do it all. But he's looking for laid down lovers. I'm wondering tonight, maybe can we get the keys? Can we allow the Lord to minister to us tonight? Can we make a space for us to repent and turn from our ways of saying, God, I'm sorry that I've gone ahead of you. God, I'm sorry that I've done things without your presence, without your instruction, without your anointing or your grace. And I'm saying, God, I want to just rededicate my heart to a place of love, to a place of your presence, to be fathered in your presence, to hear from you, to know your voice. And perhaps you're not accustomed to that. You're kind of used to perhaps just doing the weekly church activity, tick, done, and that's my Christianity. Or there's the occasional scripture reading, tick, done, there's my Christianity. He's looking for your whole life. He's looking for your whole heart. Not a part of it, but your whole heart. Amen. Before we get to that point, I want to open up the floor for anyone that doesn't know the love of God or the forgiveness of God. And if I ask you this question, if you die tonight, are you saved and are you going to heaven? My friend asked me a similar question 20 years ago. And I was speaking to him about 2 nights ago, planning for my 20th birthday as a born-again believer. And in his very first sermon, as the pastor's kid, he was 18, he was just come out of like that gang life, that thug life. He thought he was a thug. It's so funny. We all kind of try hard, like want to be hard boys back, you know, when you're teenagers. But he did genuinely come from kind of like that rough area. And I just saw there's something different in his eyes. It was the presence of God, and he preached his very first sermon on the love of God. That he loves you too much to leave you the way you are. But he loves you so much to accept you just as you are. Come as you are, he said. Come as you are. But know that he will transform you, will grow you, will change you, will stretch you, all for his glory and all for your benefit as well. Amen. And so my friend asked me that question, that hard-hitting question. If you died, where are you going, heaven or hell? And I thought I was a good Catholic boy that also went to church, a Christian church on the weekend with my dad. Mom and dad divorced when I was 8. And I thought, yeah, I'm doing the right thing. But that question still hit my heart and cut me deep. Actually, I don't know. I can't give you an honest answer and say, yes, I know 100%. If there's any doubt at all with that question, where are you going, heaven or hell? We're going to pray a very simple prayer, and I'm going to invite you to come forward. Let's all just close our eyes and say, Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son, Jesus, who endured the cross for this moment, for me right now. God, I ask for your forgiveness. Wash me clean by the blood of the Lamb, by the sacrifice of Jesus, for me and my sins. God, I ask for your forgiveness. I turn from my sins and I turn to you. Jesus, enter my heart and be my Lord and Savior. Make me brand new. In Jesus' name, Amen. 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 Come on, if you prayed that prayer like most of us in this room have, I want to invite you to do something very bold, and that is to just now lift up your hand so we can see you. Let's all just be up on our feet as well. I thank God that my friend insisted. I could have stayed in my seat. And to be honest, I don't know what would have, how the last 20 years would have transpired if I just stayed in my seat. But my friend, he pleaded with me. And he used these words from Scripture. If you are ashamed of me before man, I will be ashamed of you before my Father in heaven. I thought, bro, calm down, man. My heart's already pounding. I'm feeling like this is insane. But I knew I had to do this. When Jesus called people to follow him, he didn't just say, stay where you are. He said, come, follow me. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it, whether it's for the first time or you're coming back home as a prodigal son or prodigal daughter, you've walked away, you've run away, but you know it's time to come home now. I'm going to ask you to do something very bold and come down to the front. The reason why we do this is we want to pray with you. We want to know who you are and help you on this journey because you're not called to do it on your own. And many in this room have done this, I promise you. So if that's you, can I ask you to be brave and come to the front right now as well. And in fact, let's be the witness that Jesus is so proud of and turn to our neighbor and ask, is that you? And would you like to come to the front? Because I'll go with you. Wives ask your husbands, you never know. Friends ask your friends, is there anyone that wants to come to the front? Yeah, come on. Let's give it up for our brother. Is there anyone else? Yeah, let's give it up for our sister. It's beautiful, bro. Well done. Is there anyone else? We'll be patient. This changed my life 20 years ago. Yeah, come on. And I'm glad my friend was so patient with me in waiting. I was driving home from the city 2 nights ago when I rang my friend, and I lost it. I was in on the Monash just crying. I said, bro, thank you so much for laying down your life, for loving God and showing me the love of God, because I don't know where I'd be right now. Hadn't it been for your words, for your boldness to preach the gospel without any compromise, to let me know about heaven and hell. Is there anyone else? If you don't know where you're going, heaven or hell, don't wait any longer. This is the free gift of salvation. But it takes a step of faith to say, yeah, that's me, and I'm coming to the front as well. Is there anyone else? Or perhaps you've walked away, you know it's now time to come home. Is there anyone else? Awesome. All right, well, let's just stretch out our hands. Jess, do you want to come up? Can you pray for these awesome people?
Church, I just ask you, if you're not already, to just stretch your hands out to these beautiful people in the front here as we pray tonight, because we know, Lord, Father, right now in this moment, that this is a holy moment. This is a heavenly moment, God. This is a moment of marking, but it doesn't end here. And so right now as a church, Lord, as a body of believers, of people, those who with their arms stretched out right now, we've had this moment, God, but we also know that this moment, if we're not careful, can be snatched away. So right now I just pray in the Spirit, and I want you to believe with me, church, for these who have come up the front here right now. We don't yet know them by name. I don't yet know them by name, but the Lord does. And so right now as we stretch our hands out, I pray a prayer of protection right now against the snatching away, against any tactics of the enemy that would try to take this moment away, that would try to invalidate this moment, this holy moment right now, this decision-making moment. In fact, in the word, God, that we heard tonight, we heard the word repent, the changing of the mind, the turning around, the turning away. And right now, we just mark this moment as a moment of turning around. And we pray for these dear brothers and sisters who have made this decision tonight, Lord. You know them by name. You know them by face. You know them by characteristic. You know them by their history. And yet you know them, Lord, for what the history will not do from this moment forward, because this is a marking moment of decision-making, of turning around. So we consecrate this moment in Jesus' name. And we pray protection against the snatching away. And all that means, if that's not making a lot of sense to you, that's okay. What we're doing is we're asking the Holy Spirit right now, our helper, our very present help in times of need. We're asking Him to protect this moment that you've decided to walk with Jesus now, that there will be an ease, that there will be a helping, that you can continue step by step on this path, behind Jesus, beside Jesus, and knowing that Jesus has gone before you. Thank you, Father, for these men and women down the front here right now, Lord. And we pray, God, that you would reveal more of yourself to them. This moment, it doesn't end here. God is revealing His love to you, and He wants to do that more and more and layer by layer, and He will show Himself to you. He will do that through words. He will do that through sermons. He will do that by bringing Christian people around you and beside you. And yet He will do that by the very voice of God. So we pray for these people, Lord, right now. Pour out your love right now on each and every one of them, God. Pour it out right now, Lord. Let it not be of any words that I'm praying right now or of any atmospheric thing that might be happening, but by your love being poured out on them right now, this is real, this is authentic, this is what life is about. God, we know that you have more of your love to show them, for them to experience. And I want to leave you with this scripture. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And so you're going to continue to experience in this lifetime the goodness of God. And you will be able to witness and declare that God, who is alive, is a good God. He is for me. I know it. I've experienced it. And you will be able to tell others the same in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
So good. All right, friends, so what we're going to do is going to help you connect with our team. It's going to pray with you, encourage you in the next steps, answer any questions you might have. And so if you just follow Mike Hosking out the foyer, the doors to the left, and that would be awesome. And family, can we just give it up for all those that have just given their hearts to Jesus tonight, either for the first time or rededicating? Now it's your turn. And I sense God is calling many of us in the room. And if you don't want to wait any longer, come to the front and let's just get on our knees. And we're going to pray a prayer of repentance and say, God, I'm sorry for doing this just out of my own strength, out of my own striving, out of my own obligation, but not doing it from a heart of love, not from a heart of knowing you intimately. I heard this example recently. You know, I've got my past. Jess was very pure. And we were pure when we came to our wedding night. And it was awkward at the beginning. But that's sometimes the new thing. That when you experience God and when you do things for God and you step out for God, and even in meetings like this, it might seem awkward and you don't even raise your hand. You don't even know how to worship God because it's awkward. But we're not called to just a one-night thing, right? We're called to a life of intimacy. And so what might be awkward at the beginning Let yourself be lost in the presence of God. And I feel there's people who just said, that's not me. That's too awkward. I'm not going to speak to people around me on the streets, my workplaces. That's too awkward. I'm not going to pray for the sick. That's too awkward. Anything you do for the first time, let me just tell you, is going to be awkward. But the more you get used to how God moves, the more you're going to be able to flow in the way He wants you to flow. So there's people tonight, you've never prayed for anyone, you've never witnessed to anyone, you've never done any of these things, and God is inviting you into a life of love, but also a life of adventure for Him. If that's you, can I humbly ask you to come to the front? And I sense there's people that's going to be activated in this room to pray for those, just like Zane, only 2 weeks ago, less than 2 weeks ago, who witnessed to someone and they were seeing the fruits of that. Or perhaps you just know you need to just come back to your first love. You've departed from your first love and you need to get with God again. If that's you, why don't you just come to the front and we're just going to pray with you as well. Yeah, good on you, Caleb. Is there anyone else? Yeah. God's going to do something very special. Father, we just thank you. Prayer team, let's just get around these awesome people. You can keep coming to the front as you sense from the Lord. Whatever it is, Father, we just thank you for first love fire. We thank you, Jesus, that you shall be a bold and mighty witness, that you shall lead many to Him, Charlie, many. Father, I thank you for Charlie. I thank you, Lord, that he shall be a bold witness for you. Thank you, Lord, that he will speak your word in season, that he will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I actually even see visions of you at the gym praying over people who have injuries and you're going to see them healed. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your gift of healing over Charlie. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for Caleb. Thank you, Lord. First love fire. Yeah, pray team. Let's just gather around these beautiful people. First love fire. In Jesus' mighty name. Not out of obligation, not out of duty, but out of a love for God, out of a love for Him in His presence. Thank you, God. Let's just stretch out our hands and pray for these awesome people. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord. And pray for yourself if you're sensing. Yeah, that's me too. Father, I repent right now. And I consider how far I've fallen. That I've done things in my own strength. That I've done things my own ways without consulting you, without knowing you, without walking in intimacy with you, Lord. Now I repent and I turn to you. Heavenly Father, let's just all say this. Heavenly Father, I give you my whole heart. I turn from my own initiatives and I turn to you. Your perfect and pleasing will, let it be played out in my life. Give me the grace and anointing to do all that you've asked me to do. All in love, all in intimacy with you, Father. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. To learn more about Fire Church, head to our website, firechurch.com.au. And don't forget to connect with us on social media, on Instagram, fire.church, Facebook, Fire Church, and YouTube, Fire Church TV. Have a blessed week.